Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at a psalm tonight that was written by David. This morning, with it being Easter Sunday, we looked at a passage of Scripture and read it together from Ezekiel chapter 32 and 33. I'm sorry. I am so tired. It wasn't Ezekiel at all. We read from Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. And that passage, as we mentioned this morning, was written 700 years before the event occurred. And that passage in Isaiah 52, the end of chapter 52 and all of chapter 53, tells us about the why of Jesus being on the cross. We're going to look tonight at Psalm 22. You'll notice when you get there, you'll recognize the very first words that are in the psalm. And those very first words are, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words spoken by Jesus as they were pulling him on the cross, it may have happened very early on as they were nailing him to the cross, because it's after he spoke these words, he was offered the drink that he refused. And it was very early on in his sayings that he would say this, evidently, when you look at them and try to put them in a chronological order. David became king in 1011 B.C., he reigned for 40 years. So it was about 930 B.C. when Solomon became king. And David is the one who writes this psalm. So this psalm is written 300 years before Isaiah wrote his passage. And so it's written 1,000 years before the event takes place. The prophecy of the Old Testament is incredible. It is unbelievable. It is one of the challenges God issues to the idols of the world. Tell us what happened at the beginning. Tell us what's going to take place. Tell us what's going to occur, so that we may know that you are gods. And then he wrote this book. And it is filled with prophecies of all different kinds, and especially about Jesus. In the narrated Bible, LaGard Smith will place Psalm 22 in a section of 8 psalms. And I don't believe he's the first to do that. And he probably borrowed that listing from others who had studied the book of Psalms. But the 8 psalms that are in this particular section are called Psalms of the Messiah. And they are psalms that deal with the Messiah or about him. It's interesting that the one right after this one is also included in this section. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But this is the one that we want to look at. We have a lot of times trouble with the first verse, especially when it's said by Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at the end of the psalm, he answers his own question. But I want you to read it with me tonight as we think about this day, the day that Christ was raised from the dead, not necessarily our specific day. We don't know the exact date, but we're in the season, we're in the time. And I want us to read this psalm that talked about this event and gives us the thoughts of Jesus. You just have to think. When they could understand what he was saying, how long did it take for them to remember this psalm? How long have they heard it read? How long have they read it themselves? How long did they sing it? What if they were familiar with it as you and I are with the Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23? And what if they are as familiar with it as we are with that psalm? And then they see the crucifixion. They hear the words. They hear the first words. And they read again this psalm. And you wonder what happens to them. When they go through the events, and maybe they don't think a thing about the psalm, and then they're gathered in the synagogue, and somebody opens Psalm 22, and they read it again, if they were there at the crucifixion. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you, they cried out and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. You just hear the crowd gnashing at him, insulting. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart was turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Imagine how thirsty. Imagine all the things he's describing, picturing him on the cross. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them, and they cast lots for my garments. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions, and save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him. But he has listened to his cry for help. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I know you haven't. You hear every word. You see everything. You hear every cry. From you comes the theme of my praise to the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. What a powerful psalm. The very thoughts of Jesus from his view of the cross. And then, knowing that his God is answering every thought that he has, and his God will protect him, and his God will be with him, not to keep him from death, but through this death on this cross. And he understands and he knows that all of those who see it and get it and understand it will be blessed by God, all future generations, to everyone to whom it's proclaimed. They will begin to declare, he did it. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, every hope we have is because of him. Every forgiveness of sin is because of what he's done. He is one worthy of trust, and he brings us hope, and he gives us eternal life. It's no wonder Jesus says, if I be raised up, I will draw all men to me. When we see him and we understand why he did it, and what he did, and what it meant in heaven, how can you ignore it? How can you not live for it? Because this is the way to God, and this is the way to eternal life. If you put on Christ in baptism, do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.